You're listening to Engineering Talk, your premier source for insight into fluid sealing, connecting, conducting, and shielding applications. On today's program, Mark Russell talks about trends and developments in the world of active implantable medical electronics. Russell is a global account manager at Ball Seal Engineering. He works with OEM design engineers to find new solutions to connecting and conducting challenges in devices used for cardiac rhythm management and neuromodulation. Thanks for joining us, Mark. So, what advances in medical electronics will be realized in 2011?
If I've learned anything in my 15 years of working in the medical electronics industry, it's that change is inevitable. I certainly think this will remain true for 2011, as new influences and technologies emerge. For starters, more players will be entering the competitive arena of FDA-approved IS4, DF4 devices. Since the standards finalization, only one major OEM has achieved this, but there are indications that more have their sights set on approval by the end of the year.
What about functionality? Do you see any trends in device types emerging?
We'll be seeing a continued drive toward more closed-loop functionality. That is the production and use of IPGs that send and receive information to help gauge the effectiveness of whatever therapy they're delivering. These smart devices, which sense microvolts in order to monitor, adapt, and provide real-time feedback, are already being used frequently for deep brain stimulation applications.
Mark, it seems many device OEMs have been using Europe as a testbed for their products in recent years. Can you tell us why that's been happening and if it's something we'll see moving forward?
In 2011, I believe Europe will remain the most effective and affordable area in which to introduce products. More and more device makers are looking to gain CE mark before tackling the involved trials, double-blind studies, and complexities of FDA approval. And that trend is likely to continue due to limited resources and capital.
So expense is the primary consideration?
It's certainly near the top of the list, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because if OEMs can address demands for less expensive products this year, there's a chance they may be opening the door to significant expansion of IPG use. More affordable devices will make some therapies a more viable early-stage option for many patients, thereby moving the implantables up the therapeutic ladder to be considered as potential replacements for drugs, surgery, and other treatments instead of the last resort.
What's been happening on the device technology front? Are any big strides being made there?
I think there will be continued work on battery life extension. Advances are already happening in the development of rechargeables, and that's an area where much of the focus will remain. But there are also exciting things happening in nanotechnology research, with the goal of providing as much as 20 years of life instead of the typical 5 or less. Work will also continue on better MRI compatibility for IPGs. Manufacturers on both sides of the problem will be looking at ways to keep implantables and their various components, leads, etc., from heating up and potentially causing tissue death during MRI procedures. Promising work is being done in the development of more location-specific MRI machines, and IPG makers are testing everything from new lead materials and manufacturing processes to different implantation techniques in order to address the issue. Finally, devices will continue to get smaller. Ball Seal's Cygnus implantable contact system, which was launched in October of 2010, is one tool engineers are already using to reduce overall device volume while improving functionality. I'm sure OEMs will be looking to their device component suppliers for similar real estate-saving innovations.
What about patient viability? Are doctors exploring any new ways to determine whether IPG therapies are right for a particular patient?
If 2010 was any indication, I think we'll also be seeing improvements in screening technology for potential non-responsive patients. Advanced methods for the detection of brain activity, for instance, will be used to help doctors better predict whether a patient is a viable candidate for deep brain stimulation therapy long before the IPG is implanted.
Great feedback, Mark. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Engineering Talk, a production of Ball Seal Engineering Incorporated. If you'd like to learn more about any of the topics in this podcast, contact Ball Seal at 800-366-1006. For information about Ball Seal Engineering, visit www.ballseal.com. To learn more about the Cygnus implantable contact system, visit www.sygnus.com.